to you in association with Kelly's Lawnless Milltown and Rathmore. Local, like you. Have your say. Call, text or email.
Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, as I mentioned before the break, I'm going to tell you next about a really, really interesting show that is coming up. If you could even call it a show, because I'm not sure that's the correct term. It's an event. That might be the best way of describing it. Coming to the INEC next week, and it features the writer Joseph O'Connor, and with him is the well-known musician Philip King. And what they're doing is they're bringing a show which is based on Joseph O'Connor's book, My Father's House. And in the show, Joseph will be doing some readings from the book, and he'll also be chatting to Philip King, and Philip King will be doing some music as well, and there'll be other guest singers on the night. But let's zone in on the book, My Father's House, because this was written by Joseph O'Connor, and it was Joseph O'Connor, of course, is a highly successful Irish novelist who's won numerous awards for his work. But Joseph became fascinated with the story of Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty from Killarney a number of years ago. And that led him to on a journey which took him to Rome and led him to many, many years of research, which thankfully coincided with lockdown, so he had time to do the research. And the upshot of all this was the book My Father's House, a brilliant book which got incredible reviews. And that is the book that has now been made into this show, which is also called My Father's House. I had a very interesting chat earlier with author Joseph O'Connor. And at the outset, I asked him to tell us, when did he first hear about the fascinating story of Monsignor O'Flaherty?
Well, thanks very much for having me, Deirdre. It's lovely to chat with you today. Now, I think I first heard the story of Hugh O'Flaherty, or, you know, about him as a person, in Listowel, maybe 25 or 30 years ago. At the Writers Festival there when I was a young writer. I probably hadn't published a book yet, but I used to go, used to really enjoy it. And I have a memory that late one night, maybe in John B. Keane's bar, maybe it was a bit the worse for weather, somebody told me about this remarkable man from Kerry, Hugh O'Flaherty, and the amazing work that he did to save so many people in Rome during World War II. And he always just stayed with me, and I used to come back to research him every couple of years, and the more I found out about him, the more fascinating he seemed to me. And then I did start to go to Rome 4 or 5 years ago now, just to research the places where he had lived. You know, I visited the college that he lived in. I've actually been in the little chapel in that building where he used to celebrate Mass every day, which is a very moving experience. And then the lockdown came along, and suddenly we were all stuck at home, and I started just out of idle curiosity, nearly writing, you know, 1,000 words a day about Monsignor Hugh. And I realised after a couple of months, this is turning into a novel, and that became My Father's House.
Yeah, and tell me about the title of it, because it refers to, is it a biblical title, or is it taken from a prayer?
No, it's from one of the Gospels. It's one of the sermons of Jesus. He's talking about faith, and he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, which I've always took to mean, you know, that there'll be room for all of us. We won't all necessarily get, you know, a palace up there, but I hope I might get a broom covered, you know?
Yeah, don't we all?
I suppose the resonance that it has with this book is that the work that Hugh O'Flaherty did and his escape line was in hiding fugitives from the Nazis in Rome during the Second World War, and he hid them in every room and attic and kitchen and cellar and basement. You know, thousands and thousands of people. Some historians reckon Hugh O'Flaherty saved the life of 7,000 people during the 10-month Nazi occupation of Rome. So Rome itself had many rooms, and he was familiar with all of them, and was inventive and clever and cunning in how he hid so many people right under the nose of the Gestapo.
And my father's house is kind of a, it's based on Monsignor Flaherty's story, but it is fictionalised. Is that difficult for a writer, because you're dealing with real people, but you want to, well, to put it bluntly, make a story out of it?
Yeah, so you need to be very clear with the reader about what you're doing. You know, like I took the character of Hugh O'Flaherty, or you know, my understanding of his character, which is based on research, and, you know, his family were very gracious. They cooperated with me and gave me access to all of his surviving written materials. You know, so I've read his letters and his telegrams and essays and all of that. But in the end, it's first and last a work of fiction. You know, I've taken that real person and put him into a situation that could have happened, and probably situations very like it did happen. But there are major silences in Hugh O'Flaherty's real story. He was a very modest man. He didn't like to talk about his wartime experiences much. And I suppose it's the silences that become inviting to a storyteller, because, you know, the things that we don't know about him are where a novel or a story might begin.
Exactly. And are there other people, are there other real people featured in the book, or is he the only real person?
No, there's a couple of real people. Some of your listeners will remember with great affection Delia Murphy, the Irish, great Irish balladeer and folk singer. And I was talking to John Kelly recently. He was saying to me that Delia really was the closest thing that 1940s Ireland had to a pop star. You know, she was a big recording artist, and she did concert tours, and her albums were played all over Europe, and that's what she did as a young woman. Then she married a man called Thomas Kiernan, who became Ireland's ambassador to Rome. And as was the practice in those days, her career took a back seat and she went off to Rome. And one of the things that she did on the quiet was become a really important helper and assistant and leader of Hugh O'Flaherty's escape line, at great personal danger, and also a great disapproval by the Irish government back in Dublin, who, as you know, were neutral. So it was a very risky thing for the spouse of an Irish diplomat to be involved in helping Allied prisoners to escape, but she did, and she was a really remarkable woman. So she's celebrated in my father's house too, along with, you know, most of the characters who I have invented. But some of them are composites of real people, or they're influenced by real people, and then some are just inventions.
Exactly. It's kind of unusual, Joseph, that a novel ends up becoming a live show. How did that come about?
Well, I might be going a bit far now to call it a live show, but it will be me reading. I'll be reading from the book and in conversation with my friend Philip King, who's such a great man of music and the Irish language and Kerry and many of the things that are touched upon in my father's house. And then we will have some live performances of music on the night, which I think would be really beautiful, and we'll add to it.
So it'll be, the night will be, I'm just trying to visualise it in my head, the night will be readings from the book, and
it'll be readings, conversation, live musical performance, and it's on July the 13th at the INEC in Killarney, and the book came out at the end of January, and I've done dozens of events now up and down the country and in the UK, and of many more coming up in other countries, but this is the one I'm really looking forward to. You know, it means so much to me to be able to have this event in Killarney and celebrate Hugh in the town of his childhood, so I think it'll be a great night.
So has the tour always been with Philip King, or have you done this with other musicians?
No, I haven't. No, it's sometimes with other musicians. I've done several readings with a choir, you know, with a different choir each time, because a choir plays a very important part in the book. The way it works is that Hugh and Delia's escape line, they've become convinced that the Gestapo have bugged every room in the Vatican, And so their way of hiding is they the escape line form themselves into a choir, and they meet and they rehearse a couple of times a week. And while they're singing, they're passing around notes of this week's plans and maps and secret addresses and all of that. So the choir is a cover for their human rights work. But over the course of the 10 months, the Nazi occupation, I guess participating in the choir becomes important to the characters, and they start to get something from it, which I think people do in a particular way, from choral music. I think it's a lovely thing to hear groups of people singing together. So there's a lot of music in the book, and we'll be talking about that on the night, myself and Philip, and as I said, we'll have live music performances too.
Yeah, it sounds like a fabulous night, Joseph. And just a final thought, I grew up, I'm from Kerry, I grew up in Kerry, I would have been in primary school in the 70s and secondary in the 80s. We never learnt about Hugh O'Flaherty. In fact, I think a bit like Tom Crean as well, we only started hearing about these incredible people in relatively modern times, in recent times. Why do you think Hugh O'Flaherty's story remained buried for so long?
Well, as I say, the first reason is probably that he was very quiet about it himself. You know, Hugh was genuinely, you know, a very self-effacing man. He didn't want to talk about his work during the Second World War. As far as I've been able to ascertain, having researched him for a few years, I think he only ever gave one sort of long interview on this subject to a man called J.P. Gallagher. And my feeling is that Hugh did that just to get the subject off the agenda. You know, I think he said, well, you know, I'll meet you that afternoon and I'll tell you what I have to say. And I had nothing more to say about it after that. And then I suppose the second reason is that, you know, it's wartime. It was secretive work. There were probably double agents involved. You know, the world of war is very murky, and there were probably contacts with people who would have expected confidentiality to be kept. And then I guess the third thing, Deirdre, would be, I mean, since you mentioned Tom Crean, you know, there's still, long after the Second World War, I think there still would have been an unease among some people in Ireland about the fact that Hugh had helped British soldiers as part of his work. I mean, I don't think he saw it that way. You know, his kind of slogan, his motto was "God has no country," and he would help anybody who he could. But you know, it's not that long ago in Ireland when there would have been, I don't know if Anglophobia is putting it a bit strong, but it might have caused some people comment, you know, that an Irish Catholic priest from a very nationalist part of Ireland, with the terrible history that Kerry has with the Black and Tans and all of that, you know, it might have caused people confusion. And that may have been one of the reasons why he kept it quiet. But the main thing, I think, was his own modesty.
And that was writer Joseph O'Connor speaking to me earlier about In My Father's House, which is the name of the book and indeed of the event that is coming to the INEC on Thursday night of next week. So it's Joseph O'Connor reading extracts from the book, talking about Monsignor O'Flaherty, and some wonderful music as well by the incredibly talented Philip King. So that's going to be a great night at the INEC next week. And I can tell you, we are giving away two tickets to that event every day this week on Talk About. I asked you a question earlier on, and the question was, in what Italian city did Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty save all those thousands of people from the Nazis during World War II? The answer, of course, was Rome, and everyone got that right, but the person whose name came out of the draw is Stephen O'Leary. So well done, Stephen. We'll be in contact with you about how to collect your two tickets for that show, My Father's House, at the INEC on Thursday, July the 13th. Now we're going to take a break. We've lots of comments to read for you, and we also have our Garda slot. That's up next.